I want to know what kind of bullshit this is right here. Right here, Pride of Detroit, PODcast, PrideofDetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter. Everything you need about the Detroit Lions. And we are working on Labor Day. Jeremy, why?
Hey, man. I would have done it yesterday. I was primed and ready, but someone was up in the air, George Clooney style, so we couldn't do it.
Someone was yeah, he was on his vacation, deserved so. He is a laborer. He is allowed to be free of his labor on the vacation, but I was unbelievably turnt yesterday because of all the football, and now I'm here on my Labor Day, me, Chris Perfett, the adequate host at Adequate Host with Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader at Detroit Online. You won't. I love how I weave this shit together. But we were all waiting on Ryan Matthews. Back is the motherfucking rock god. At Ryan underscore POD, who bad things happened to Ryan last night.
Terrible, awful, no good things.
It wasn't pretty. I watched it.
Now we have official proof on the record proof that he survived, though.
Yeah, he lives. He lives.
Yeah, I lived. I lived, but I felt like dying.
Do we want to give some background as to what happened?
Yeah, let me get the crap out of my throat first. Okay, so Ryan lost his bet. Jeremy and Ryan had a bet going about who would be the backup quarterback for the Lions this year. I think we all knew the Lions would only carry two into the season. Sure enough, they did not trade Jake Rudock, which would have thrown a wrench into the plan of like everything.
They what went would Jake have happened? What would have happened, know. Jeremy? Did we talk about this? Did we say it would be a wash?
I mean, I was trying to push that it was going to be a wash, but there was no explicit language in our written contract that said.
As a neutral arbiter, I would have said that the fact that Kaya would have made the roster would have meant that it was a victory for Ryan, but obviously up for interpretation.
What I would have agreed to, and let's be honest, even if the Lions would have traded Jake Rudock, Brad Kaya was not going to be the backup this year. It was going to be someone else who would have had to come in and do it. So I think in that case, I thought we both should have faced punishment.
What if you were wrong? I'm just saying, what if you were wrong and Kaya was the backup? That idea isn't even crossing into your mind.
Well, yeah, because it was never even close to happening.
Okay.
According to your sources, right?
According to your wonderful sources. Anyway, Ryan lost. He ate the cheese sticks. We all watched it. The mozzarella sticks, not the cheese sticks. The mozzarella sticks.
Yeah, I ate the mozzarella sticks. I did. And if you want to go check it out, it's like Jeremy mentioned to our own Alex Reno. It's on demand on our Facebook page at Pride of Detroit. And
forever.
To be honest, it's not anything you really want to watch. You probably have to skip through about 30 minutes of me preheating the oven and then cooking the mozzarella sticks, me almost burning down my apartment and then eating them and me wanting to light my own self on fire. So
because you ate those like farm fresh ones, you ate like the worst mozzarella sticks.
It doesn't matter. I could have bought any kind of mozzarella stick. I could have went to Applebee's, but as a millennial, I'm actively trying to kill their brand. I don't want to see them succeed. So, but then again, I think I should have went there because buying appetizers is what's killing Applebee's. So I should have fulfilled my millennial duty. Yeah. And went and bought mozzarella sticks. That was my bad. My blow. My B.
Did y'all ever read about that one guy who went to TGI Fridays and tested to see if the endless appetizers were endless?
I remember hearing about it, and I remember reading a lot of the article. I just don't remember the outcome.
Well, the outcome is probably going to be a lot like the Detroit Lions season coming up. Heyo, great transition. So on this podcast, we are going to be talking about the Lions season upcoming. We've got a list cast for you, quarterbacks, final position list cast of the year. We've been waiting for, I think, about a month to do this one. Everyone says, Chris, you got to do the list cast. And Jeremy's like, no, we've got to talk about these games. And yeah, that's why we're here. But we're going to start off talking up the top. It's been a couple of days now. We've had plenty of time to chew on this final roster. And I don't know. It looks okay, I guess. I think we write about the Lions and we have people who, a lot of people who read us and listen to us who are tuned into the Lions 24/7, something I really don't think is good for your health, that, we end up falling in love with some of these guys in the, preseasons past, and a lot of them just won't make it through a second preseason, and they're out on the street. Case in point, Jace Billingsley once again sent back down to the practice squad.
Yeah, I can't say it's much of a surprise either. The way he was going to win a roster spot this year was through special teams, and for I think the second year in a row, he showed that he doesn't really have that great of return skills, either as a kick returner or a punt returner. He does have some receiving skills, and that's why I think the Lions are giving him another year on the practice squad. But to me, that was the least of the surprising moves. I was glad to see, though, that he cleared waivers and was able to return.
Yeah. I thought Antoine Williams was a little surprising, given kind of depth at linebacker. And he had a couple of decent games last year before where he started before he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, that's another name that Jeremy and I talked about last night on the Facebook Live was the surprise cutting of Antoine Williams in favor of keeping Thurston Armbrister, which was a guy that we really piled on. And I mean, not just we. I don't think that anybody thought he had a good season by any metric or any measure last year. But that was probably the most surprising cut of getting down to 53 was losing a guy who Jeremy mentioned, you know, was the starting Sam linebacker for a couple of the preseason games and during training camp. So that was a head scratcher.
Yeah, and just to be clear, Thurston Armbrister didn't make the team, but he did make the practice squad. That's what's so surprising is that Antoine Williams didn't even make the practice squad. So
right,
the
Lions, didn't bring him back. Wow.
The Lions kept seven linebackers ahead of him: Jared Davis, Tyre Whitehead, Jalen Reeves-Maybin, Paul Warlow, Steve Longa. Someone named Nick Ballore made the team, who I'm assuming that most of you didn't even know who was.
And fire then, up chips.
Fire up chips. I guess the local guys might, but I mean, you look at this depth at linebacker, and there's not a ton of playing talent there, but there's a lot of special teams talent there, and that's something that we've become accustomed to with Bob Quinn. He might have overdone it a little bit here, but I mean, you look at the guys that they cut outside of Antoine Williams, and there's not really a ton of guys there that you would rather keep. So, I mean, it was a strange move. It was a shocking move. It was probably the biggest surprise over the weekend that the Lions just decided to part ways with Antoine Williams out of nowhere. You know, no beat writer saw it coming.
Is that more surprising or less surprising than deciding to roll with five running backs and only three tight ends?
This is something else that we also talked about on Facebook Live last night, but
well, excuse me, what the hell are you guys doing freelancing out here?
Freelancing. I was free eating mozzarella sticks. And I hate myself today, but I don't know. Jeremy, we kind of had different opinions on this. I said that Teon Green making the team was more surprising than Antoine Williams getting cut. I did not see him making the team at all. I was at training camp the one day where they were messing around with him lining up at fullback, but then they were putting other tight ends in at fullback. So I thought, well, they'll keep a fourth tight end just because they're going to run so much 12 personnel. And maybe if they do want to throw a quasi fullback back there and F type back, that they can use a tight end rather than keep another running back. Cause that would mean they'd have to keep five. And I just thought that was kind of overdoing it a little bit, but lo and behold, Teon Green catches a pass 4 yards deep in the backfield against Buffalo, turns it into a huge touchdown. Brad Kaya ends up losing his job. I don't understand how that works. Someone explain that to me. Brad Kaya is the one who threw the pass. Okay. So
I could have thrown that underhand.
Okay. That's stop. What a blogger response that was.
He's really working heel today, Ryan.
I could have made that pass. Well, if you could have, then why aren't you out there, big guy? Why aren't you on the Carolina Panthers 53-man roster right now?
I'm very much as on the Lions squad as Brad Kaya right now.
Is that shocking too? Is that as shocking that Kaya was claimed by off of waivers? I think we talked about it last year when we were talking about Rudock going to the practice squad. Rookie quarterbacks usually don't get claimed off waivers when they're heading towards a practice squad.
Yeah, I mean, sixth rounders and beyond in general are not claimed very often. And then when you spend all offseason from the draft on developing a guy, you expect him to kind of clear waivers because you know, the Panthers haven't seen Brad Kaias since he's been drafted. They haven't been able to develop him. And not only did they decide to take him, but now he's on their 53. So he's going to probably spend the entire season essentially being on the practice squad, although not officially being on the practice squad, just trying to catch up. And it really seems like a waste of a roster spot to me for the Panthers. I don't really see it why you would try something like that, because like I said, like it probably took Brad Kaias 3 months to get where he was by the fourth preseason game. And now he's going to have to start all over with the Panthers, which means he's going to be useless to them this year. He really is. And to waste a 53 spot on him, just it's puzzling to me. But you know, it is the risk that you put out there by putting a quarterback out there that at one point was a first round prospect.
Well, so a couple of things. I think it's a waste of a roster spot for almost any team to keep a third quarterback. I mean, if you're a team that has like a quote unquote like elite quarterback, keeping a third quarterback just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Because right, like why not just keep two, and then you can roster a practice squad guy in case of emergency.
I just want to say
Carolina just doesn't make a lot of sense. They have a veteran in Derek Anderson, so it's a weird move. It proves that Kaya has talent, though.
I just want to say, okay, should we get into this mailbag question early? Because we had a lot of people asking about the third quarterback.
Let's do it.
There shouldn't be that much discussion about a third string quarterback, and I know we're guilty of it right now, but let's just do it. Get out of the way.
Yeah, I'm just sorry. Give me a second to pull it up because I need to dig back. So, like, literally, put out the mailbag today. Hashtag Ask POD. We'll get to it at the end of the podcast. First two posts we get are about, do you see the Lions getting a third string quarterback, pretty much? And it's like, there's no reason to have a third string quarterback. If lightning strikes and both your quarterbacks go down, just roll out a wide receiver out there or play triple option or something.
Chase Billingsley at quarterback.
Yeah, put him at quarterback. It doesn't matter. If Stafford goes down, the season's a wash. Like, and then if your backup goes down, guess what? If you're onto a third string quarterback, your whole season is just ruined completely.
Unless you're the Patriot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the rules don't apply to them. But I'm just saying, like, if you are down to your third string quarterbacks and your name at coach is not Bill Belichick. Almost named him Brian there. If your name isn't Bill Belichick, what is happening is you are losing every game going on out, unless the other team is also on their third string quarterback. And in which case, if that's the case, then just flip a damn coin.
Then congratulations on playing the Jets that week.
Yeah. Or you're playing the Jets.
Hey, I was going to say, if we want to talk about third string quarterbacks, can we just bring up our weekly Christian Hackenberg segment?
It's time for the Hackensack watch.
The Hackensack watch. I don't know. So,
make the roster?
Hell yeah, baby! I'm assuming so. Why wouldn't he?
He's Christian Hackenberg.
He didn't get named the starter. McCown got named the starter, right?
Yeah. But you're not gonna sack the Hackensack. Why would you do that?
That's true.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't sack the Hack.
Don't sack the Hack. Okay, but like, okay, anything else from this roster you want to talk about? Like, I mean, I'm just looking over here. Johnson Badamasi got traded. We all thought he was going to be the guy who like survived everything. Guess not. Alex Carter, that saga is finally at its regrettable end. And, you know, we were all kind of worried because we were like, look, you know, Casey Redfern's really great. He's going to be great on some other team. And then Sam Martin isn't able to play. He's still on NFI. And Redfern's on the final 53.
Well, I guess we all got our wish. Casey Redfern ended up on an NFL team's roster.
I mean, if there's one thing to talk about with a roster, it's the elephant in the room that went unaddressed, and that's the defensive line. Everyone was waiting for the Lions to put in a claim on all these guys that got waived over the weekend for a defensive lineman, and they may have put in a claim, but they were not awarded anybody. Mm-hmm. So we're left with three rookies, two and two second-year players out of nine defensive linemen. So over half of them are either in their first or second year in the NFL. And that's pretty terrifying. Let's be honest here. The Lions are in a bit of trouble on the defensive line, and I'm not going to go out here and yell at them because there wasn't a lot of guys out there that they should have picked up from waivers. Maybe not even anybody. You could see maybe next week, because there's a weird rule with veteran guys that if they're on your roster on week one, their annual salary is guaranteed. But if you pick them up in week two, it's like a quarter guaranteed. So I wouldn't be shocked to see them go and pick up a veteran next week, but going into week one versus the Cardinals, they're going to be in a little bit of trouble at defensive line.
That's a hyper scummy rule, by the way.
It is. So Devin Taylor signed a week from today.
Yikes.
Probably not Devin Taylor, but he was the starter last year and he's out there.
All right. We should get on and talk about the rest of our season preview. So we ready to do that?
Yes, sir.
Let's go. Season preview 2017 Detroit Lions is coming up. Plenty of chance to play Toto's Africa. How much are we going to be playing Toto's Africa?
Yes, you'll have to.
Not enough. Yeah, exactly. Not 16 times, unfortunately. Not 19 times, but hopefully many times. Doing that and quarterback list cast. It's all coming up on the POD cast. Stick around. Pride to Detroit POD cast rolls along here, and we are now into our official season preview. The season is beginning on September 10th. We are recording on Labor Day, against my wishes. And the Lions start with the Arizona Cardinals. Later this week, we're going to try to have a first bite for you. My schedule is very busy, so we'll have to wait and see if that becomes a reality. Either way, we start with the Arizona Cardinals. Then it's on to Monday Night Football. This is Chris Berman. At the New York Giants, which is sure to be fun and not at all incredibly stupid. And then Falcons, Vikings, Panthers, Saints before the bye. And, I mean, the out-of-conference is kind of up and down. You got, as I said, Cardinals, Falcons, Giants. Playing the Steelers and the Browns later in the year, the Ravens, the Bucks, the Bengals. So you're kind of getting a little mishmash here. How do you guys want to tackle this? Because I really don't want to go down this list and just pick out which games the Lions are going to win or lose. Because as we saw last year, none of us have a flaming clue.
What's the question?
I said, how do you want to do this?
Okay, you were going to throw questions our way.
I was going to throw questions at you. I have them written down right here. I'm being adequate. Okay, what is the game? Are you ready to do this, Ryan?
I'm ready to go.
Ready to go. Okay. So what is probably the biggest game not on December 31st? Home against the Packers that you see is the biggest stumbling block for the Detroit Lions?
Well, I mean, the biggest question I have with this team is the defense. So it's going to be how they perform against a defensive minded team. And you have the Giants, like you said, second week, that's a pretty good test right there. But I think the NFC North opener on the road at the Vikings, a game that I'm actually going to be at, that's going to be the real litmus test for me to see where this team stands, because I think the Vikings are going to be a very competitive team this year that could potentially challenge for the division title. So if the Lions can win that game kind of regardless of what they do in the first three, I think they'll be able to contend for the division this year. If they struggle, I'm not going to say if they lose that game, they're out, but that's a game that's really going to be a litmus test from where they stand, not only in the division, but I think amongst teams with good defenses, because last year, those are the teams that really caused the Lions to struggle. And if the Lions defense can hold up in games like that, and more importantly, can their offense still continue to put up points against good defenses like that, because they weren't able to do that against teams like the Vikings, like the Texans, like the Giants last year. Those are the teams that gave them struggles. So I want to see how they can perform against the Vikings this year.
I think that's a good answer. I think it's a good answer for a couple of reasons. I think it's important to see how they play within the division. It's good to see them on the road against a division opponent.
Although they are undefeated in that stadium.
They are. Golden Tate is undefeated. Golden Tate will never take an L in that stadium for the rest of his existence. He could drop 4 passes in that game and he could still just say, hey, play the tape. I'm going to say that the first real test is going to be that Giants game. I know you mentioned it. It's Monday night. It's on the road. It's their first game on the road. They're playing against a really good defense, the Giants defense. If anything, it probably took some steps forward this offseason, just adding some interesting players, bringing players back with JPP back, Olivier Vernon, the same cast of characters in the secondary. They added Dalvin Tomlinson, who I think is going to be a nice addition to their defensive line. The Giants defense is going to definitely put the Lions to task. But the other component of it is, too, is in 2016, the Giants were actually pretty good at pass protection. According to DVOA, they were 3.9% in adjusted sack rate, and that was the second best in the league, only behind Oakland. Their offensive line definitely didn't get worse because they had some shaky protection over there at left tackle with Eric Flowers and whatnot. This season, I think that their offensive line is still good enough to where we're really going to see the Lions' defensive line and how much pressure they're going to be able to put on the quarterback. And I think that's going to define the entire Lions season, is how much pressure they can put on the quarterback, how much they can rush things, because it's only going to help the rest of the defense. So it's going to be an early test. And I'm not trying to say that the Carolina or the Cardinals game isn't going to be important or it's not going to prove a whole lot. But I just don't – I think that the Giants game is going to be a complete package. You're going to see the offense, which is perceived to be the strong the strong unit on this team, go up against probably one of the top – what would you say? Top 5 defenses, at least in the NFL, and the Giants.
Yeah, and, at least they were last year for sure.
Right. So you're going to see them go against an elite defense, and you're going to see a small component, the defensive line unit matched up against – a pretty solid offensive line. So, and it happens early on in the season. So I think the Giants game is going to be really good to watch.
Besides Matthew Stafford, what is the one player the Lions cannot lose?
I guess I'm going to say Ezekiel Ansah, because as I mentioned in the first segment, this defensive line is kind of trash already. And if you lose the one guy who's made a Pro Bowl or even sniffed the Pro Bowl outside of Haloti Ngata, who's, 45 years old or whatever, any hope for a pass rush completely goes out the window if Ezekiel Ansah is hurt. Thankfully, he practiced today for the first time, so that's a good sign. But, I don't think the Lions can afford to lose Ezekiel Ansah since they're already so depleted on the defensive line.
My answer is going to be a rookie, and it's going to be Jared Davis. Mm-hmm. I think what Bob Quinn did last year is perfectly akin to what he's done with Jared Davis this season. When he gave Taylor Decker that left tackle job right out of the gate and said, look, you are the left tackle and you're going to start, and that's going to be your job. It's one of the most important positions on the offense, and probably the most important position on the offensive line. That same responsibility is being tasked to a guy who is 21 years old. He's in charge of leading that defense. He's making all the calls at the line of scrimmage. He is by far the best talent that the Lions have at linebacker. But behind him, things are, I would say, maybe even more dire this season than they were last year.
See, this is where I have to disagree with you a little bit. And I know Paul Warlow was not well-liked in Atlanta.
Really good at special teams, though.
He is. I just get the feeling that, especially in the first month of the season, honestly, I don't think there's going to be that much of a difference between Jaron Davis and Paul Warlow. I think Jaron Davis is going to struggle a lot in the first month of the season. And you know what? Taylor Decker did, too. So I would say he's replaceable in the first month. But I mean, I still love the draft pick because this is a position that needs to be locked down for the future and will be with Jared Davis. I just think in his rookie year, we have to set certain limitations for our expectations for him.
That probably dovetails nicely into my next question here. Who is the player you see most likely to struggle during the season?
I have an answer.
Okay, go for it.
Kenny Galladay.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
I should have probably said most surprising to struggle, but I'll take it. Yeah.
This is just how I feel, is that rookie wide receivers have a really difficult time adjusting to the NFL. And it's kind of funny because I guess just skill positions in general have a really tough time adjusting. I mean, if you look at the other side of the ball, flip it to the guys who are covering the wide receivers, cornerbacks, they have a really tough time. You know, I think at the college level, you can get by on being 6 foot four, like Kenny Galladay was. You know, coming into the draft, people were questioning his route running and, you know, the things that really make you, make you an NFL player at the next level are the little things. And one of those little things is route running. It's incredibly important. So I think that the other thing too, though, is that the perception might not match up with the reality. Like the perception all throughout rookie minicamp, OTAs, the training camp, the very first preseason game against the Colts when he catches two touchdown passes, the hype train completely out of control. What did Kenny Galladay do the following three games?
Not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot. So I'm just saying that in a regular season over 16 games, there's a lot of expectations for that guy to all of a sudden jump up. And, you know, we went from, okay, Eric Ebron's going to be that guy to fill the Anquan Boldin role. Then people said, well, you know, with Ebron not being healthy and the things that Kenny Galladay was showing, well, Kenny Galladay can assume the production that Anquan Boldin had. Maybe not the same role, but he can assume the production. There's no way. Like, he's a rookie wide receiver. He's a third round pick. There's a reason he was a third round pick. I'm just saying that if he struggles, I'm not going to be shocked.
I mean, at this point, there's no guarantee he's wide receiver number three. TJ Jones may have that job right now. He probably won't by the season's end, but I mean, they were basically splitting that job by the third preseason game, and then TJ Jones got injured. So, I mean,
who's to say that Jared Aberderis doesn't jump him on the depth chart?
That's certainly possible too. I think at this point, like you said, expectations for Kenny Galladay got way out of control. So in terms of 2017 production, in comparison to where their expectations were at, yeah, Galladay is going to underperform where expectations were, especially a month ago.
Do you have a player?
Was the question a rookie or just a player that was going to
any show? Player, any player?
Give me Graham Glasgow. I'm terrified of the left guard position right now. He looked horrible in the preseason. His backup Joe Dahl looked even worse. I know nothing about how good Zach Karen is or really who he is, other than I know he came from Toledo. So that's got to get you excited, Chris.
Toledo boy.
But yeah, this left guard position, I think we're not talking about enough. It's a real concern. And for a team that is really trying to improve the running game, oof, I don't know. I'm not liking the prospect of what's going to happen at that position right now. And I think Graham Glasgow is a guy to really be concerned about.
What game is probably going to be the back-breaking loss that sees the Lions snuffed out from playoff consideration?
So you're assuming that that's going to happen.
I'm just saying, okay, let me change that. If there is a game that has the potential to be back-breaking, because I don't think, Jeremy, they're not going to win this division outright. There's going to be a game that has the potential to break them. Well, once again, do I have to amend this and say, do not pick December 31st at home against the Packers?
I mean, you should have, because that was the Pavlovian response. You said that, and I'm like, I mean, what, we've seen this play out before.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want some brutal honesty from me, I don't think that game's going to matter. I think the Lions are already going to be out of the playoff hunt by then.
So where do you see that death blow being taken at?
I mean, I think realistic hopes will be gone by the Bucks game.
You think the Bucks will do it?
Yeah. I think the Bucks are a really good team. That's a really tough game on the road. Thankfully, it's in December, so it won't be like crazy humid or anything. But I mean, we've talked plenty of times about how brutal the beginning of the schedule is, and the Lions will be lucky to come out 3-5. So I mean, there's a chance they could start like 2-6, and then, you know, playoff hopes are gone by then. Essentially, we'll still probably hold out hopes because it definitely lets up. The schedule definitely lets up in the second half, but. You talk about it's Vikings, Ravens, Bucks, back to back to back. That's not exactly an easy stretch of games down late November, early December. I think by the end of that Bucks game, it's going to be pretty clear the Lions aren't going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, when I was kind of taking a look at the schedule, I said, you know, it's not so entirely unreasonable to say that the Lions could end up 500 after that really tough stretch to start the season, those first eight games. I think it's probably just as likely that they go 3-5 to start off that stretch. But then if you look at those next few games, if you're talking about the game that's going to, you know, be the backbreaker, I completely agree with you, Jeremy. It's going to happen in those three games. You know, there's the Vikings on Thanksgiving, but then on the road against Baltimore, on the road against Tampa Bay, you know, Tampa Bay could likely be a team that's playing for their division at that point.
Yeah.
You know, I really think that they could take a next step up when I'm thinking about, are the Lions going to make the playoffs? If they don't win the division, it's going to take one of these other teams that really seem to be on the, you know, on the verge of taking that next step, like the Buccaneers, the Carolina Panthers maybe come back, or look at the NFC East. I think that the NFC East and the NFC South are going to have the wild card spots. I think that's just the way it's going to shake out. So, you know, like Chris said, to kick this question off, I mean, do the Lions have a chance of winning the division? A slim one. I don't see it happening, but it seems like that's going to be their only meal ticket to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, there's no way they're running away with this division. I know the Packers are worse, but yeah. As I wrote in kind of my preview thing, like this, when a division is up in the air like this and all four NFC North teams are in a brutal slug and probably down to their own levels, just history says the Lions don't win those battles.
Right. Well, I didn't give you my actual answer, though, Chris, and it's Sunday, November 12th against the Browns.
Well, that leads. God damn it.
You just let me.
OK, I'm going to ask this question. OK, who is Ryan rooting for on November 12th against the Cleveland Browns?
God, I don't know. I hope he doesn't turn into one of those fans that if the Lions go 2-6 over the first eight games that they're rooting for a good draft pick. Because if you're one of those fans, get the hell off our podcast. Unsubscribe right now because I'm going to berate you all season.
Delete your life.
Are you ready for my answer?
Yep.
Nobody, because I'll be on press row. I'm not allowed to root for anybody.
Good enough. All right, let's get on to our list cast. We got to keep moving fast. We're going to fit everything in here. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
All right, let's start our list cast. List cast time. Haven't done one of these in a while. We said we'd do one more before the season began, and guess what, you little sons of bitches? We are doing it. Top 10 quarterbacks. Probably our weirdest one yet, because the NFL is nothing short of heading towards a disaster where no one can actually play quarterback, at least not the level that this league demands. And they have no one to blame but themselves because they've had every chance in the world to develop a developmental track or try to ease the restrictions on rosters so they can develop quarterbacks. And they haven't done it. They haven't done a goddamn thing. So the NFL deserves to become unwatchable shit once everyone leaves this league, a la John Boyes's NBA Y2K, where he just simmed in the worst possible people draft season after draft season. That's going to happen to the NFL, except in real time. For now, we give to you the top 10 remaining good quarterbacks in this godforsaken league.
Are you trying to tell me that you're not excited for Scott Tolzien versus Jared Goff or Blake Bortles versus Brandon Savage, I want to say? Is that his first name?
Tom Savage.
Tom Savage.
I don't even know his first name.
Meanwhile, Brock Osweiler is getting a second contract.
Hell yeah, baby.
Everyone thinks John Elway is a brain genius for doing it.
He got out of a big ass contract that he's
I don't care. Just because you are smarter than the Texans does not make you smart.
Or the Browns.
Hey.
Anyways, let's do some list casting, guys. I've missed this.
Let's go. All right. Who wants to, I'm going to have Jeremy start this off because I think his is the most together right now.
Okay. I'm the most prepared. All right. My number 10, Philip Rivers, who I think might not be on some of your guys' list. He's kind of in the same situation, I think, a guy like Matthew Stafford is, where he doesn't really have the greatest supporting cast, and so he's overlooked a little bit. I think he's okay. He's fun to watch at times. He's fun to watch for other reasons when he's, you know, saying best or worst day ever into the camera in slow motion. But I think he still belongs in the top 10 list in this league. He's just proved himself over the years that he can be a guy that can change the game for the Chargers and keep them relevant. Number 9, Andrew Luck. Let's talk about Andrew Luck just for a second because the media is a little too obsessed with this guy for a guy that hasn't really accomplished all that much as an individual lately. He's got a worse completion percentage than Matthew Stafford. He's now, I would say, you know, in danger of being called injury prone. He's not going to start the season with the Colts this year. And I mean, outside of just, you know, he fielded an 11-5 team for the first 3 years of his career and has been riding that for the rest of the 2 or 3 years he's been in the NFL. And I know he's dealt with injuries and all that, but he needs to prove more to be the elite guy that I think everyone in the NFL thinks he is. And then my number 8, Derek Carr. This is a tough one because I think maybe by next year he's going to be a top 5 guy, but I just need to see it one more year out of him. He's proven himself to be in the conversation and he's proven himself to earn the kind of contract he did this offseason. But I just need one more year for me to consider him maybe as a top tier guy. He's not quite there yet, but he's very close.
We got Ryan.
I'm trying to think right now. Okay, I'm ready. For number 10, I have a name that's not going to be on anybody else's list because I need to go the Jeremy Reisman route. I'm going to put Jameis Winston at number 10.
Ooh, boy.
I think Jameis Winston is due to make the leap this year. It's third season. He's got a ton of weapons at his disposal. He's got DeSean Jackson. He's got O.J. Howard. He's got Cameron Brait. He's got Mike Evans. He's got tons and tons and tons of talent around him. And they're really, I mean, their defense is, it's more than adequate. So it's a little bit more than Chris, but I just think that Jameis Winston can finally put it all together this season and join that elite class of quarterbacks.
I don't know, man. I feel like he's prone to a lot of weird mistakes. Like that interception that he threw in the preseason where he was like on his back when he threw it. That's kind of the Jameis Winston I know, where he's a little too much of a risk taker at this point.
He needs
a Jim Caldwell to calm him down a little bit.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that's what we all said about Matthew Stafford for a long time. So number nine, I'm going to go with Kirk Cousins. Look,
Homer,
the proof is in the pudding. OK, well, you know, I'll say that when Tom Brady makes your list. OK. I just think that this season will be a really good test for him because it's a bunch of guys who he hasn't been playing with for the past couple of years. You have some new guys in town. You have Terrell Pryor. You have, Josh Doctson, who's finally going to be healthy. They have some interesting new pieces there. And if Kirk Cousins can make the most out of them too, like he has some other players, you know, he kind of revived DeSean Jackson's career a little bit. And I think Kirk Cousins is definitely somewhere in the top 10. And number 8, I'm going to go with old Ben Roethlisberger. I know he's not the healthiest guy all the time. But when he's on the field, Pittsburgh's definitely a better football team than when he isn't. So health concerns aside, Ben Roethlisberger at number 8.
All right. I guess it's my time and I get to double team this one. All right. Number 10, Kirk Cousins. He's going to get a ton of money. Not going to be worth a damn cent of it, but he's going to get a ton of money from someone.
But he's number 10.
But he's number 10. Yeah, exactly. Because he's because as I said, there is a huge heap of names have almost been here. Like Andy Dalton's in here, like is below him. Blake Bortles is definitely below him. I know, Jeremy, I had him in my top 10 last year.
Ride yeah, you did.
Ride me on that. That went south real fast. I even have Jameis Winston below Kirk Cousins. I don't believe in Jameis Winston. Number 9, Eli Manning.
Oh, my
Vince McFuckface himself.
This I don't know, man. This is awesome. I can't wait for number 8.
Number 8 is Derek Carr. I got to see more.
That was kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah, you were expecting me to just keep going more and more adequate, huh?
Tyrod Taylor.
You love Tyrod, though, Chris, or Ryan. Why would you say that?
All right, I'm going to keep going because we got to keep this moving. Number 7. And man, actually, I'm at an impasse here because number 7 right now I have Cam Newton, but I think he could be as high as number 6. I do not believe that we just saw Cam Newton 2 years ago, MVP, and all of a sudden he's just gone from the face of the earth. I really can't believe that is how things are, right?
He lost a lot of weight, so let's see how that helps.
I agree with you that 2016 Cam Newton is not the normal Cam Newton.
That's the aberration. That's the aberration for sure.
At the same time, we're talking about a guy who hasn't completed 60% of his passes in his career.
Yeah, but at the same time, this is a help issue for him, I feel like. Like, I keep looking around him. I'm just wondering, like, the reason he has to run so much is because who the hell does he throw the ball to?
Yeah, I mean, his number one wide receiver, let's remember some things about the skill position players that Carolina had, okay? Hedgin Jr. is the only guy to catch over, like, 70 balls in a season without any arms.
Just with his, like, elbows? I guess elbows are part of the arms.
All right.
Kelvin Benjamin is more of a cheeseburger than Eddie Lacy is at this point, okay? That guy's going to be a tight end in a year. The only reason he isn't right now is because Greg Olsen, the only guy who's been worth a damn, has been Cam Newton's safety valve while he's getting crushed in the head. Okay, so I'm not here for this Cam Newton slander.
Okay, geez. He must be higher on your list. He's not even on my list, I'll say.
You would have thought he went to Michigan State, huh?
Yeah.
Number 6, and again, this is who I was debating switching with Cam Newton, Russell Wilson. He's still good, but I don't know, man. I'm starting to get off the Russell Wilson train a little bit. He's still good enough to be number 6. But I think Wilson has the most potential to go down in my list. Cam has the most potential to go up. And number 5, Ben Roethlisberger. Old, beat up, worn out, still throws pretty damn well. And we were just talking about this before because we just had our like offensive MVP talk here for the Lions. And we were talking about, okay, would you give credit for offensive MVP to the quarterback or to the wide receiver? And even in the case, the Steelers, we kept taking Ben Roethlisberger over Antonio Brown.
Christopher Lemieux, I have to talk to Perfette. You right now. Perfette, I'm sorry.
God damn it.
You clearly do not have Matthew Stafford on your list, which means you have Eli Manning above Matthew
Stafford. No, I don't. No, wait, hold up. We'll get to my top 4 very soon.
Why are you jumping?
Yeah, why are you jumping on down my goddamn throat? Let's have you go then. I mean, it's round robin. It's Ryan. Ryan's up next. You wait your turn. You sit in the corner.
Oh man, I messed up my list. No, I didn't. I did not pull an adequate Chris. Okay, number 7. I have Russell Wilson. He's so boring and like
he's the fucking worst.
It's just, I mean, my favorite part of the offseason is how everybody's in the best shape of their lives. But then the one story I hear about Russell Wilson is that Doug Baldwin said he's no longer quote unquote chubby anymore.
That entire Seahawks team is going to turn on him at some point. They're just going to let like two defensive ends just crush him.
Like Russell Wilson could never be described as overweight. He could only ever be described as chubby. And just like the greatest football meme of all time is him in the Hawaiian shirt with a couple of other players. And he's like, why would you put dirt in Sprite? But anyways, number 6.
I'm going to go with Matt Ryan.
Wow.
I'm not.
Wow.
Hold on. Was Matt Ryan on any of our top 10 lists last year?
I think he might have been on mine. I don't have it up.
He was nine on Chris's list. He was the only person to have him on his list.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so that's weird. I mean, he has one good season, and all of a sudden we're gonna all of a sudden jump him into the top three. Let's not overreact to things, okay? You know, Kyle Shanahan no longer in town. Matt Ryan, do it twice in a row before you want to be up in, you know, with the rest of the squad, okay?
Some would argue that about Matt Stafford too, though.
Yeah, but I mean, Matt Stafford doesn't have Julio Jones.
Number five.
Ignore Calvin Johnson. Number five. Number five. I'm going to put Drew Brees at number five.
Okay.
I'm over Drew Brees being so short and being so good at football. Like, I'm out on Drew Brees. I mean, he's going to have a tough time, too, because his offensive line is still beat up. And I know Terron Armstead didn't get put on PUP, but he's probably still going to miss time. Max Unger is coming back from Lisfranc surgery. Larry Warford hasn't exactly been the, you know, most healthy guy either. It's going to be.
No.
Yeah, right. So I'm going to put Drew Brees at number five.
All right, Jeremy.
Jesus Christ, guys. I was the homer last year only having Matthew Stafford on my list, but I have him either the lowest or you guys don't even have him on your list. I don't know what's happening.
Are you gonna be mad if James is on my list but Matthew Stafford isn't?
Yes. Matthew Stafford is my number seven quarterback. I think that's a completely fair spot for him.
Too low.
Maybe it is too low. Mike put it together a pretty interesting article today showing that I think he had the fourth highest quarterback rating of all quarterbacks since he was benched in Arizona 2 years ago. He belongs in the conversation of the top five. I just have him, you know, a couple outside. I think guys like my number six, Ben Roethlisberger, and my number five, Russell Wilson, have been doing it a little bit longer. They both have a little bit more help than Matthew Stafford has ever have. But, a guy like Ben Roethlisberger, he just kind of changes the game when he's in there. He knows how to command. He has a command of that offense like no one else could, I think, with Pittsburgh. And the fact that you just cannot sack that guy, even when he's 36 or whatever age he's at, is pretty incredible to me. And then Russell Wilson, this is a guy who, for whatever reason, gets dinged for being like a game manager or a short ball specialist. This guy has one of the best deep ball arms in the league. I think people underestimated that.
What?
Horny. I don't know what that means. But anyways.
Corny. Corn.
Why are you saying
God damn it.
Whatever. I think Russell Wilson is still kind of underrated at this point in his career. Granted, he does usually have a good running back. Granted, he usually has one of the best defenses in the league. I think he does some things that a lot of quarterbacks in this league couldn't do. So give me him at number five.
All right. Get through your rest here.
What do you want? 4-3 or 4-3-2?
Yeah, 4-3.
4-3 Drew Brees is my number four. I can't believe he can still do what he does, but he can and he does. He's super old and he looks like a spring chicken out there. He's one of those guys that just has complete command of that offense and is just, I don't know. He knows exactly what he's doing out there. He's crazy accurate, maybe still one of the best, most accurate throwers in the history of the NFL. And just an impressive guy overall. And then my number three is Matt Ryan. Say what you will about him being a 1 year wonder, which I think is not fair to him at all. I mean, he was lighting things up in his first couple of years in the NFL. This is a guy who you build an offense around and who can take a high octane offense like the Falcons and keep them at an crazy, you know, scoring points in a crazy level. I mean, we didn't even see you talked about Matthew Stafford being a 1 year wonder potentially and maybe being above Matt Ryan, but Matthew Stafford never had a season like Matt Ryan did last year. Even in 2011, he didn't have a season like Matt Ryan had last year. And I see no reason why that's going to stop this year.
Even a blind squirrel gets a nut. I mean, 2015, 16 interceptions to 21 touchdowns. 2014, 14. Oh, come on, man. All right, here we
gotta
go.
Move, man.
Number four, Matthew Stafford. Proof is in the pudding. Number three, Cam Newton. I believe in Cam Newton.
Wow.
Like we said, I mean, this guy's like 2 years removed from being the MVP of the league. So let's put some good weapons in front of him. Let's give him a decent offensive line. You know, let's afford him the same luxuries that Brad Kaya had in the preseason. You know, he'll be able to throw the ball 4 yards negative to Christian McCaffrey and let him do most of the work. So
if he can complete the pass.
Number four, Matt Stafford.
Yeah, Chris.
Eat shit, Jeremy.
High five.
Wow. Hey, how you doing?
So, okay, I'm doing some math here. I'm wondering which of the top four quarterbacks in the league is not even on your list.
If I told you I accidentally originally had 11 and I just had to delete one for some really bullshit reason, would you believe me?
Yes.
Thus, I'm going to have a top 10 list without a particular quarterback, because my number three is Drew Brees, who I was leery about putting him up this high because he throws for a billion yards and his team still goes 7-9, but QB wins isn't a thing. But at the same time, like, I mean, I don't know. When does Drew Brees fuck off to retirement land? When do you think that happens?
Maybe after this year.
I think this is the last year in his contract, I believe.
Is it?
I'm not entirely sure on that. I should probably double check before saying something reckless like that. But
12 seasons, man. All right. Well, besides that, that is my 4 and 3. I think I have the luxury of 1 and 2 then. We all know who these are. So it's just a matter of where they get placed.
So Matt Ryan's not on your list. Just putting that out there right now. Matt Ryan's not.
You get erased from history. You get erased from history for having
blowing a 25-point lead.
Yeah, yeah, in the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Guess who isn't on my list? Andrew Luck.
He's not on Chris's list either.
Yeah, Eli Manning's on there though.
You guys are ridiculous. All right, go ahead.
Hell yeah.
Right. Pull the Band-Aid
off. If I remember last year, I had Aaron Rodgers above Tom Brady.
You did.
Guess what? It's Tom Brady coming up on top this year. And I hate it. I hate the world. I hate everything. I hate the stupid goddamn sport where a lich, an eternal undying sorcerer, can just stay on top of this sport forever and just not go away. At least Brett Favre had the wisdom to like not win every game he's ever in. Christ, I hate him. Ryan, give me your 1 and 2.
All right, well, number two is Aaron Rodgers, just because I was accused of being a cheesehead last night on Facebook Live, so I can't have him be the number one quarterback.
You got cheese in your head. You were eating the cheese. It was going through your head.
It was going through my head. Number one is
Red
Colin guy. Kaepernick.
Oh. Get my boy a job. Get my boy
Tom
a job.
Tom Brady, 6th-round pick out of Michigan.
Shut up. Fuck up.
Tom Brady.
Jeremy's already kind of insufferable because of what happened with Michigan and Florida, so.
What? I haven't even brought it up. Shit.
Yeah, I can feel it emanating from you, though.
And you know what? I have Tom Brady number two. Fuck y'all. I'm sorry. I think Aaron Rodgers, if you're talking on a pure talent platform, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the league right now.
He doesn't get to move up just because he grew a handlebar mustache.
No, if anything, I would drop him out of the top 10 if that had anything to do with this list.
Are you saying that you could replace Tom Brady with another quarterback and the Patriots would still be just as good?
I would say if you replaced him with Aaron Rodgers, they'd be even better.
Gasp.
Just on his scramble ability alone, his ability to extend the play like that, Tom Brady has never been able to do that. He's never had to do that in New England, but he wouldn't be able to anyways, because we've all seen Tom Brady run, and anytime he does it, it becomes a gift because it's ridiculous. Aaron Rodgers just has a whole other dimensions to his game that Tom Brady doesn't have.
I agree with you. I don't see a lot that
Tom Brady can do that Aaron Rodgers can't.
I agree with you, but that being said, Aaron Rodgers only graded out 2 percentage points better than Blake Bortles when it came to run grades on PFF. So
what was the score in the NFC Championship? What was Aaron Rodgers doing then?
I don't know. Matt Ryan beat him. Where is he on your fucking list?
He got erased
the very next game.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
Let's get on to the mailbag.
here. Here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
Mail time. Hashtag AskPOD. As always, we take our questions now exclusively through Twitter, which is both a good thing and a bad thing. Really need people to step up. Do we have any reviews this week, Jeremy?
No, we don't. So you guys are free to talk about wrestling for the next 20 seconds if you'd like.
Yeah, the clock got reset for 20 seconds. So
Hold on. Chris, let's think about this.
I have nothing to talk about, actually.
This is the thing. I don't have anything to talk about either. So how about we challenge the listeners this way? If we don't get another review next week, then that 20 seconds turns into a minute.
All right. Oh, wow. I'll agree to that.
Well, I was going to talk about potentially going to No Mercy, but this works.
Okay. So, yeah, it's essentially a double or nothing bet.
Double or nothing. I like it.
Listeners,
like
if you don't want a full hour of wrestling talk, or full minute. Holy crap.
Wow.
A full hour.
Yes.
A full minute of wrestling talk next week when we should be celebrating the Lions being 1-0.
I want to double down and get you to dare enough to see if we can do like a WrestleMania podcast if you lose.
I mean, I've got a pretty good record with betting against you guys, so maybe we can find something.
All right. Well, let's get to the questions so we can stop doing this like song and dance.
Oh, yeah, you have a good history betting against me. Mark Sanchez says otherwise.
I won the first half of that bet. I just shouldn't have gone double enough. All right, you idiots.
Come on, let's go. Blake Berry asks us to rank the NFC North.
Ooh, this will be fun.
Yeah, we didn't do this earlier. Let's go.
Oh, no, you guys aren't going to like me.
I know. Hold on. I bet you I can do Jeremy's right now.
Yeah, you probably can.
Packers, Vikings, Lions, Bears.
It's true. It's what I have them at right now.
This is the thing. I don't completely disagree with it, but I also don't completely agree with it. So I don't know. You could flip-flop the Vikings and the Lions. I'm not totally sold either way. So it's going to take a couple games for me to see what's going on over in Vikings land. Like if they didn't improve their offensive line enough, then I can't put them ahead of the Lions.
I've got two scenarios. I've got Packers, Lions, Vikings, Bears, and I've got Vikings, Lions, Packers, Bears. And I don't know. I'm just saying there are two very volatile teams in this division.
I really want to see Chris's second come to fruition because I want to see the
playoffs. Jesus.
No, well, just the Vikings. We yes. will still eat shit at the end of the year.
I would love to see the Packers miss the playoffs, but I can't think of the comments. What is the name of their comments?
JS comments?
Yes, the JS comments just calling for Brett Hundley to play and for them to move on from Aaron Rodgers. Like, there's no way we should pay him more money than the stupid Lions are paying Matthew Stafford.
Like, Hundley. Like the offensive line is really bad in Green Bay right now.
It's bad. And like their defensive line, like, or I mean their defense in general, like what do they do to improve their secondary?
Like, there are just so many questions with this team. Like, it could go the wrong way. And, like, yeah, your offensive line's bad. Guess what? It means Aaron Rodgers might get hurt. I don't know, man. Like, I know that's kind of the nuclear scenario, but I really don't know how to. The Packers are so volatile, and they have a lot of room to move down. And the Vikings are so volatile, and they have a lot of room to move up. And I don't know which is which.
Well, here's the thing. I don't necessarily agree with your first point that the Packers are volatile because as long as Aaron Rodgers is there, they're not that. Like, they have a very high floor with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback because they've had a pretty crappy team for the past few years. And Aaron Rodgers is one.
They were four games behind last year. They were like a ton of games behind from the playoffs. And that you can't, just like you can't expect the Lions to constantly go 8 straight comebacks or whatever it was, you can't ask for every year for the Packers to pull off that miraculous come from both behind in the division standings.
He's got a point.
I don't know. If they didn't look like a good team in those wins that brought them back to, I mean, they made it to the, what? They won their first playoff game, right?
They went to the NFC championship game.
And got blanked.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a sign that this wasn't a luck thing. It was like they were actually a team that deserved to be there.
Well, no, I would argue that maybe they just caught some good momentum, Jeremy. They strung a few games together and worked their way into the playoffs.
Okay, we got to get on some more. Questions.
Here's the thing I will admit real quick is that if I were going to make a changing to my rankings, I would put the Vikings ahead of the Packers. I think the Vikings could definitely win the division this year.
That's why you're going to the Vikings game. It's because you're a Minnesota fan.
Mm-hmm. James at Cookie991 asks us, which Lions player would be best to send to take down Kim Jong-un?
Whoa.
So we're going interview here, I guess.
Yeah, pretty serious. I mean, like, just by last name alone, like, wouldn't you pick Miles Killebrew?
I think it's the same question, the answer that I've been given all year for this kind of question that has absolutely been floating around in my head.
It's Eric Ebron, isn't it?
Nope.
I know who it is, and it's my answer, too.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
It's the 65-year-old A'shaun Robinson.
Yep. That man is going to retire. That man is going to retire from the league and be like a special ops like operator.
I can see him being a Navy SEAL for sure.
Yeah. Well, no, he's a little big to be a SEAL. He's got to fit into places.
I was just going to say, if he's in the same room with me, I'm letting whatever you want happen in negotiations. He can have whatever he wants.
I just want to see him in one of those like bucket hats, like the fisherman hats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's definitely worn one. He played down in Alabama.
Yeah.
All right. Cameron Manier asks us, who scores the first Lions touchdown this season?
Dwayne Washington returns the opening kickoff.
Jesus, man.
TJ Lang recovers a fumble in the end zone.
What? You calling for a fat guy touchdown?
Yeah, baby.
He recovers a Matthew Stafford fumble?
Nope. Tion Green on a quick fullback handoff in the pistol formation. If that's even possible, it's going to be a new wrinkle they're going to add to their offense. And Tion Green's going to fumble it and we're all going to feel bad, but then TJ Lang is going to recover it and he's going to spike it and then they're going to talk about it on 97.1.
Okay. Any Shaw has a bunch of he just sends us a picture of marinara sauce.
Oh God. It was one of my worst moments ever online.
Immortalized forever.
I would have killed for marinara sauce last night. If you eat mozzarella sticks without any dipping sauce, you're a psychopath.
Or you just made a terrible bet with me. One or the other.
Or both. Why are those things mutually exclusive?
I guess they're not.
All right. Omnimon asks us, kind of going through some questions we had when the SB Nation sites were down. Hot dog Franks on pizza. Yes or no?
No.
No.
It's another thing that will get you quickly categorized by me as a psychopath.
Bruce Walker, why don't sheep shrink when it rains?
Nature's drier. Like, what? I mean, there's has to be a drying aspect to it. And I mean, I know the sun comes out, but like, come on, it's not enough.
What? I don't understand that answer at all.
If you put a cotton shirt,
it's wool.
If you pull a wool shirt,
did you think cotton was on?
No, I did not think cotton was on sheep. I was just thinking about things that shrink in the washing machine, and usually the things that are 100% cotton. Does wool even shrink?
Yeah.
Oh well. I don't know. Quit asking dumb questions that get answered on Facebook.
Ryan Collins, how many? I'm not even letting Jeremy jump in on that one.
I don't have anything to say about sheep. No sheep expert.
Oh, that's not what I've heard.
Yeah.
What?
Ryan Collins. Ryan Collins asks us, how many times exactly was Africa by Toto played this last week?
I mean, during the Facebook Live that Ryan and I had after the Stafford contract, I probably replayed it at least 20 times during that whole, 40, 50 minute Facebook Live session.
It got played a lot. Did that happen this past week? Was that Monday?
That was last Tuesday, I think, is when they announced it. Or maybe it was even Monday. It might have been Monday night.
Yeah, it was, because I can't even remember, because I keep trying to remember where we were recording.
Hold on.
Let's not do this.
No, I... Oh, okay, never mind.
Did you find it or no?
No, I just wanted to say either, oh, Monday night. But I'm not sure if it was Monday night, but whatever. Okay, fine, dude. We're just doing the mailbag. Just a couple dudes doing the mailbag.
One Pride, what were your reactions when you heard Brad Kaya era is over?
It was 5 seconds of shock, 5 minutes of I need to text Ryan to tell him.
Mine was 10 seconds of finally taking a look at my cell phone during this past weekend when I was on a golf trip and seeing like at least 6 notifications from Jeremy, including one text message that said, don't ignore me. and then me just ignoring him for the rest of the day. Like Rob Zaglinski from Windy City Gridiron got in my mentions. Like a lot of people got in my mentions. And eventually I just had to put out a statement saying that, I hope that everybody respects my privacy during this difficult time. So
I think that's how we'll end it. It's a difficult day for Ryan.
That's such a somber ending.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want me to go back to talking about how I think the Lions are going to finish third in the NFC North? I can do
God,
that.
God, no.
What's
not? Jeremy can't even put over his own team. Oh, wait, I forgot. He's a Vikings fan.
Thank you for listening to the Pride Detroit POD cast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Our main theme was produced by Brian Shepherd. You can find him on Twitter and on SoundCloud at I am Brian Shepherd, IamBrianSheppard. Thanks a lot to him. Check out his stuff. He's been great. He gave us Victory Monday, so go check him out. That's I am Brian Shepherd. And thank you for everyone who keeps listening and makes us one of the greatest Lions podcasts possible. Y'all are awesome. See you, Starside.